Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically-based messages live down the internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
Good evening. Welcome to Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio. We are streaming live on the internet from London. This broadcast is dedicated to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. On tonight's program, we continue with part 16 of our series of programs entitled The Vatican in Europe. We will discuss more about these programs after we have heard some music.
Thank you.
the Vatican and Europe. We continue with part 16 of this important subject with answers from the Bible. Over the course of a number of weeks, we have been discussing the following. Where in the Bible do we find the Vatican mentioned? Where the Bible shows the Vatican's roots come from? Why Jesus mentions about the Vatican in the Bible? How long Jesus predicted that the Vatican would rule for? And what lessons does Jesus for us about the Vatican today? In our study last week, listeners, we learned that the United States of America is the two-horned beast of Revelation chapter 13. We learned that Satan, through the papacy, will give the United States of America power to make an image of the beast and form a likeness of papal government. We studied that the mark of the beast is the mark of papal Rome, which is Sunday worship. The Lord has predicted that the apostate Protestant Christian churches in America, which have been influenced by the papacy, will pass laws that will call for the persecution and death of all who do not comply with the decree to enforce Sunday worship. Here is how the United States of America will be the enforcer of papal government. And so, as we continue to study this week, we will now look at how we are to prepare for this coming global crisis, when no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Let us now pray before we begin our study this week, listeners. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you once more for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio, streaming live on the internet from London. Lord, as we continue to study your word, once more we ask your Holy Spirit to be with us and teach us and help us to understand those things in your word that we need to know in order for us to be saved in your eternal kingdom is our prayer. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Vatican and Europe, Part 16, Preparations for the Final Crisis. We read in Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 to 7. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. As we studied over the past few weeks, listeners, in Revelation chapter 13, the Lord gives a warning to his church about Satan's plans to enforce the mark of the beast. As we continue to study the Bible, we see that in Revelation chapter 14, the Lord sends an angel with a message to counteract the plans of Satan. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 6, we see that Christ sends an angel to preach the everlasting gospel to them that dwell upon the earth, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Let us see who this angel represents. We read in Galatians chapter 4, verses 13 to 14. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Here the Bible makes it clear that the Apostle Paul preached the gospel and was received as an angel of God, even as Jesus Christ. This shows that the angel in the book of Revelation chapter 14 verse 6, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, symbolizes the servants of God, human agents. We read in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We read in Job chapter 1, verse 8, And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth. A perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Here the Lord explains to us what it means to fear God. It is to be perfect and upright, and to eschew evil. The word eschew is used in the King James Version of the Bible only once. It is from the Hebrew word eklino. It means to shun, avoid, or go out of the way. See Strong's number 1578 in the Hebrew dictionary. And so, we see thus far in our study, listeners, that the first angel's message of Revelation chapter 14 is the message that is given by the faithful servants of God. Servants who represent Jesus Christ, calling people to fear God and to keep his commandments. The Lord Jesus Christ causes people to go out of their way to shun evil and to make a decided effort to keep away from the devil. We are to focus upon the divine Son of God as the one who God has sent to save us from our sins. This message from God calls us to accept the eternal life and power that flows from God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us now look at why the Lord has to warn his people about escaping the mark of the beast. We need to understand, listeners, the time that we are living in. We read in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" God has appointed a time when judgment must begin at the house of God. The first angel's message is sent by the Lord to announce that the hour of God's judgment has come. We read in Daniel chapter 7, verses 8 to 10. "I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and the mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened." The prophet Daniel was shown that the judgment would sit in the time that the little horn ruled upon this earth. Thus, it would happen during the reign of the Antichrist system, or during the reign and the time that the papacy would rule upon this earth, as we studied previously. This is also seen in the timeline of the book of Revelation. The proclamation of the judgment to the world, given by God's servants, is symbolized by the angel of Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. It comes after the rise of the papacy and after the rise of the United States of America. These two political powers, symbolized as the seven-headed dragon and the two-horned lamb-like beast, are both mentioned in Revelation chapter 13. God in his mercy has let us know exactly when events in heaven and in the world will take place. Both Daniel and Revelation agree that the judgment would sit in heaven during the time that the papacy ruled upon this earth, and after the United States of America would come into action as a power politically. Let us study the Bible prophecies that confirm this. We read in Daniel chapter 8, verse 14, "And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." Here we see a time was given to let God's people know when the cleansing of the sanctuary or the judgment day would start. This is because the cleansing of the sanctuary was known to be judgment day in Israel. See Leviticus chapter 23, verses 27 to 32. We read in Daniel chapter 9, verses 23 to 27. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth. And I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. God did not leave his people to guess when the 2,300-day prophecy would start and end. Using the day for a year principle, as we studied in previous radio broadcasts, 2,300 prophetic days is 2,300 literal years. The angel Gabriel had let the prophet Daniel know what event would be the start of the prophecy. It will be the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, which can be found in the book of Ezra. Once one knows the date of this, then all the events that the angel Gabriel had listed would take place within that time frame. We read in Ezra chapter 6, verse 14, "And the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they builded and finished it, according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia." History records through at least 3 ancient calendars that this commandment was fully decreed by 3 kings in the year 457 BC. Counting 2,300 years from this date takes us down to the date that the judgment in heaven would start, that year being 1844 AD. So listeners, not only does Jesus warn us about receiving the mark of the beast, he also warns us to fear him, to love and to respect him, and to keep his commandments, because the hour of his judgment has come. This started in 1844 AD. And so, we are living now, today, in the time of the judgment. To prepare ourselves now, so that we can stand in the judgment and be innocent before the tribunal of God, we are to fear God and to keep his commandments. Now listeners, we need to be clear about which God is calling us to love and to respect him and to keep his commandments. We are living in a time when many people in the Christian church have their own ideas about God. Some worship a black Jesus as God. Some worship a white Jesus as God. Some worship a pastor or a bishop as God. Some worship whoever to them fits in with their own ideas about who the holy God of heaven is, in accordance to their own sinful desires. But let us continue to study the Bible. We read in Revelation chapter 14, verse 7, "Worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." Now listeners, we need to be clear about who made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. We read in Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. But which Lord? We read in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of God, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who the Godhead used to create the universe and all mankind. As the second person of the Godhead, this was his role. The first angel's message calls us back to worship not only the Father, but Jesus Christ the Lord as well. This is because the churches of God have lost their direction and focus upon Jesus Christ as not only the Redeemer of mankind, but as the Creator of mankind as well. We read in John chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honour the Son, even as they honour the Father. He that honoureth not the Son, honoureth not the Father which hath sent him. Take note, listeners, it is not God the Father who will have the final judgment upon our lives, but the Son of God. Why? That men should honour the Son as they honour the Father. The first angel's message is sent by God as a message of love, not only calling men back to love in obedience to God's commandments and to do good works, but it is also sent to give us all a correct understanding of who created us. Listeners, let us give Jesus Christ the honour that is due unto him, especially now that he is our judge. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 to 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Listeners, in this series called The Vatican in Europe, we have studied the Bible and world history to see how Satan has used the papal power to attempt to change God's law. The laws of an earthly monarch, to be of force, must bear the name of the monarch, his signature of royalty, and also the impress of his seal, which is the sign or mark of his name. This same is also true for the law of God, the Ten Commandments, the great original, eternal law that is the foundation of God's throne by which he governs the universe. From page 75 of the Advent Review and Sabbath Herald, dated March the 28th, 1854, written by Elder James White, we read, "We wish to call attention to the law of God, and if possible, find his seal." We begin and read, "The first three commandments are prohibitions, and in each of them the name Thy God is mentioned. But the uninformed might say, there are gods many and lords many. We do not gain the desired information from these three commandments. We pass on. We will skip the fourth commandment, as it is thought by some to be a Jewish institution which has served its time out and ceased. The fifth commandment teaches the duty to parents, which is a promise of long life in the land to those who obey. The other five commandments are each prohibitions, but neither of them mention the name of God. We will just look at that so much despised commandment and see if we can get any light there. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labour and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Here we get first the Lord, second, signature of royalty, creator of heaven and earth. Third, right to reign and extent of dominion. As he is the creator of heaven and earth and all that is therein, nothing can exist unless supplied from his bounty. Therefore, as he is our creator and sustainer, he has a right to reign over all. Heaven and earth is the extent of his dominion, the seal or sign between him and his people, the Lord himself has declared, is what this commandment enforces. And so, listeners, even though there are gods many in this world, there is only one true God and Jesus Christ. There is only one law, which is the foundation of God's throne and government. There is only one law that governs the universe. That law is the Ten Commandments. Satan has sought to take the seal of God's Ten Commandments by changing the seventh-day Sabbath to Sunday. He has sought to set up his own mark of authority, Sunday worship, in place of the seventh-day Sabbath, the day set aside for the worship of man's creator and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. The fourth commandment contains the seal of God's government, and this seal is not just a written law of instructions. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, the seal of God is the sign that the sovereign power of God's love rules in his subjects' hearts. This is why the issue of the mark of the beast is one that determines the final destiny of mankind. It determines who men desire to rule their hearts and lives forever. We will have a break and continue with our study afterwards.
Voice in the Wilderness is a gospel ministry that was established in 1992. From small meetings of prayer and Bible studies, it grew into a national outreach resource and has since grown over the years into an international ministry that not only carries out evangelistic work through books and tracts and videos, but we also conduct prophecy seminars, health talks, religious liberty meetings, and carry out publishing work. Today, utilizing the latest electronic and printed media, our work has expanded and spread abroad around the world. In Africa, North, South, and Central America, Australia, the Caribbean, and Europe. We are a non-profit organization, and our work is supported by the prayers and goodwill of the people. If you would like to join our mailing list or offer prayers or give financial support, please contact inquiries at wildernesspublications.org, or you can call 440-7962-388-445 for more information. Visit our online bookstore at www.wildernesspublications.org. Visit our radio station website at www.vitwradio.org. May the Lord richly bless you as you continue to listen to Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio.
As we continue with our radio broadcast this evening, we will now study more intimately what it means to prepare for the crisis concerning the mark of the beast. Ultimately, every human being upon this earth needs to prepare for Christ's second coming. We read on page 572 from The Great Controversy Between Christ and Satan by E.G. White. A prayerful study of the Bible will show Protestants the real character of the papacy and will cause them to abhor and to shun it. But many are so wise in their own conceit that they feel no need of humbly seeking God, that they may be led into the truth. Although priding themselves on their enlightenment, they are both ignorant of the scriptures and of the power of God. They must have some means of quieting their consciences, and they seek that which is least spiritual and humiliating. What they desire is a method of forgetting God, which shall pass as a method of remembering him. The papacy is well adapted to meet the wants of all these. It is prepared for two classes of mankind, embracing nearly the whole world. Those would be saved by their merits, and those would be saved in their sins. Here is the secret of its power. And so we see that the Vatican, the papacy, is prepared for two classes of mankind. Those would be saved by their own merits, and those would be saved in their sins. If this is the secret of the papacy's power, then we must not fall into either of these traps that Satan, through the Vatican, is leading people into. This is the only way that we can escape from receiving the mark of the beast, the mark of papal government. We read in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Listeners, the example of our Lord Jesus Christ is before us. He overcame Satan, showing us how we also may overcome. Christ resisted Satan with Scripture. He might have had recourse to his own divine power and used his own words, but he said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If the sacred scriptures were studied and followed, the Christian would be fortified to meet the wily foe. But the word of God is neglected, and disaster and defeat follow. We read from pages 121 to 122 from the book The Desire of Ages by E.G. White. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Often the follower of Christ is brought where he cannot serve God and carry forward his worldly enterprises. Perhaps it appears that obedience to some plain requirement of God will cut off his means of support. Satan would make him believe that he must sacrifice his conscientious convictions. But the only thing in our world upon which we can rely is the word of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Even in this life, it is not for our good to depart from the will of our Father in heaven. When we learn the power of his word, we shall not follow the suggestions of Satan in order to obtain food or to save our lives. Our only questions will be, what is God's command and what is promise? Knowing these, we shall obey the one and trust the other. So listeners, we must not be afraid of the consequences of being obedient to God's law. Whether we have to accept a lower salary as an income, or whether we have to accept a different job position in order to keep the Sabbath, we must be prepared to sacrifice earthly interests where necessary to keep God's law now in preparation for the crisis to come. I can testify for myself, listeners, that God will never leave you or forsake you when you live a life of faith in the promises of God. And if you leave him, if God still grants you life and you return back to him with repentance and humility, he will accept you just as you are. He will rebuild your life to be even stronger in him than before. You will know for a truth that Jesus Christ has power to save you from your sins and can make you whole. Listeners, it is victory over sin that we need to be striving for now, not earthly treasure. In the last great conflict of the controversy with Satan, those who are loyal to God will see every earthly support cut off. Because they refuse to break his law in obedience to earthly powers, they will be forbidden to buy or sell. It will finally be decreed that they shall be put to death. See Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 to 17. but to the obedient is given the promise. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His water shall be sure. Isaiah chapter 33 verse 16. By this promise, the children of God will live. When the earth shall be wasted with famine, they shall be fed. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. Psalm chapter 37 verse 19. To that time of distress, the prophet Habakkuk looked forward, and his words expressed the faith of the church. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. And so, listeners, to prepare for the coming crisis where no man can buy or sell, we need to have a living experience in the things of God now. We need to know Jesus personally for ourselves, and we need to be willing to submit our hearts and lives fully to his word. One thing that must be understood is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. See Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. This means that the blessing that Jesus has promised to his church in the future can be experienced by us now, in part, if we put our trust in him. These are the deeper things of God that he is seeking for us to know and experience for ourselves today in order for us to be ready for his kingdom. The promise in Psalm chapter 37, verse 19, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied, is not just for the future, listeners, when God's people cannot buy or sell. It is also God's present promise for us today if we are willing to put our trust in him. He who lightened the cares and anxieties of his widowed mother and helped her to provide for the household at Nazareth sympathizes with every mother in their struggle to provide her children food. He who had compassion on the multitude because they fainted and were scattered abroad, Matthew chapter 9 verse 36, still has compassion on the suffering poor. His hand is stretched out toward them in blessing, and in the very prayer which he gave his disciples, he teaches us to remember the poor. But it is only those who have faith in God's word who can truly realize and appreciate this blessing. God's promises are not for the unbelieving. We read from page 52 of the book Thoughts on the Mount of Blessing by E.G. White. Whenever men choose their own way, they place themselves in controversy with God. They will have no place in the kingdom of heaven, for they are at war with the very principles of heaven. In disregarding the will of God, they are placing themselves on the side of Satan, the enemy of God and man. Not by one word, not by many words, but by every word that God has spoken shall man live. We cannot disregard one word, however trifling it may seem to us, and be safe. There is not a commandment of the law that is not for the good and happiness of man, both in this life and in the life to come. In obedience to God's law, man is surrounded as with a hedge and kept from the evil. He who breaks down this divinely erected barrier at one point has destroyed its power to protect him, for he has opened a way by which the enemy can enter to waste and ruin. By venturing to disregard the will of God upon one point, our first parents opened the floodgates of woe upon the world, and every individual who follows their example will reap a similar result. The love of God underlies every precept of his law, and he who departs from the commandment is working his own unhappiness and ruin. Listeners, here is one of the main reasons why people will receive the mark of the beast. There are so many people who want to interpret the Bible their own way, who want to pick and choose from the Bible and the spirit of prophecy what they want to do as they please. But Jesus has told us that we are to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God's prophets, who he inspired to write the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, are his mouthpiece. To reject the testimony of God is to reject him. I pray that you who are listening to this broadcast are not working out your own unhappiness and ruin because of how you want to live. Do you want to eat and drink what you want? Do you want to dress how you want? Wake up when you want? You want to work when you want? Sleep when you want? Speak as you want? Do you want to marry who you want? Earn money as you want? Have children as you want? Bring up children as you want? Have friends as you want? Have a career as you want? Travel as you want? Or do you in all these things consult the Lord and please him by following his will? Are you living your life as your Creator has given you knowledge, listeners? The hour of God's judgment has come to determine this. Once again, you must understand that the papacy is prepared for two classes of mankind. Those who would be saved by their own merits and those who would be saved in their sins. Both classes are made up of those who are trying to make it to heaven without humbling themselves and being truly repentant and being obedient to all of God's commandments. The reason why the Lord has sent the first angel's message into the world, as well as the second and the third, is that the Christian world have almost as a whole forgotten about who he really is. Most Christians have allowed the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church to cloud their minds and to confuse them. Very few, even of those who profess to be Christians, are willing to accept the plain word of God as it reads. The simple test for us all is, who are we going to for guidance? We are living in a time when humanity is suffering from countless diseases, mental illnesses, traumas, emotional disturbances, heartaches, and all different types of substance and physical abuse because of sin. But who are the masses of professed Christians turning to for healing? They are turning to the ungodly. Reason and method and moral codes alone cannot cure the human heart from depravity. But this is what humanists and atheists teach. These ungodly thought leaders in medical and scientific professions may have some measure of success with their methods, but no mortal can impart the life-giving power needed from God to cleanse the human heart from evil. Whether a person initiates evil or is a victim of evil, only Christ has the power to heal the human soul and to give it lasting comfort, happiness, and peace. As we have studied and documented previously, most of the intellectual, scientific, and educational institutions that we have in Europe and America today have in one way or the other been indoctrinated by the mystical teaching of the Jesuits. They have been influenced by and are being regulated by Roman Catholic social teachings. The Word of God is to be our spiritual food. The life of Christ that gives life to the world is in his word. It was by his word that Jesus healed disease and cast out demons. By his word he stilled the sea and raised the dead. As our physical life is sustained by food, so our spiritual life is sustained by the word of God. And every soul is to receive life from God's word for himself. As we eat for ourselves in order to receive nourishment, so we must receive the word for ourselves. Listeners, we must make the word of God personal. In his promises and warnings, Jesus means me. The experiences related in God's word are to be my experiences. Prayer and promise, precept and warning are mine. The creative energy that called the worlds into existence is in the Word of God. The Word imparts power. It begets life. Every command is a promise accepted by the will, received into the soul. It brings with it the life of the Infinite One. The life thus imparted is in like manner sustained by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, shall man live. The mind, the soul, is built up by that upon which it feeds. And it rests with us to determine upon what it shall be fed. It is within the power of everyone to choose the topics that shall occupy the thoughts and shape the character. And so, listeners, the choice daily is ours. Are we willing to be born again daily by the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit? Are we willing to humble ourselves in order to be regenerated? Do we really desire to receive the life of God and to be washed from our sins with Christ's own blood? Do we really believe that God can do this? Listeners, week by week, we have exposed the system of Antichrist, the Vatican, that the Lord has brought to view in His Word. We have documented how, over the centuries, since this system was first set up by Satan, the papal power has sought to destroy the work of God and to make God's law void by replacing the commandments of God with the teachings and commandments of men. No human being, no pope, or priest, or pastor, no doctor or professor, or any other man or woman who claims to be educated can recreate a fallen human being back into God's image. The great sin of this age is to place human reason above divine revelation and to trust in human methods for healing rather than to trust in the divine power of the Son of God. All of these sins are leading many professed Christians not to reflect the image of Christ, but to reflect the image of Satan. By believing in and supporting the satanic teachings that are being promulgated by the governments of the earth, this is leading professed Christians to reflect the image of the beast, the image of papal government. And so, to prepare for the final crisis is to be prepared to live by the Word of God, not to be prepared to live by the commandments of men, no matter what the cost. Listeners, I have witnessed people who are willing to rob their own brother, sister, husband or wife, even their own mother, in order to get money to exist. How is it with us this evening? Are we selling our souls to Satan to gain what we believe is rightfully ours? Some have even killed in order to get what they believe they need in order to function in life. This is the spirit of satanic government, and it is the spirit of this world where men and women believe that they need to trample over each other's rights and break God's law in order to make progress in life. This is the spirit of selfishness exemplified, and why the wrath of God will be poured out upon the ungodly who refuse to repent of their evil deeds. And you know what, listeners? All that we see that the Vatican is doing, and all that it has ever done, is because these and other sins are used as a means in order for this satanic system of religion to survive. This is why Jesus calls the Pope the man of sin, for the Pope heads out a system of religion that has murdered and robbed and raped and pillaged all who are in its way in order for it to exist. See Revelation chapter 18. History surely testifies of this murderous religion. Can we not see that what Jesus has testified about the Vatican in the Bible is true? And can we see now why the world is as wicked as it is? Those who receive the seal of God will receive it because they will have allowed God's law to be sealed in their minds by the Holy Spirit. They will have made a conscientious decision to be obedient to all of God's commandments. They will have overcome sin through the power of God and they will have Christ's perfect love manifest in their hearts. They will respect life, but those who will eventually receive the mark of the beast will receive it because they will have chosen to rebel against God's law and to honor Satan's counterfeit day of worship, Sunday, instead. They honor satanic government before the government of God and will be seen in the judgment to be those who had no real respect for the life that God had given to them. Here is the reason why the ungodly will be cast into the lake of fire. So we will have another break, listeners, and we'll come back with our closing thoughts.
Thank you.
Listeners, over these past 16 weeks, as we have studied about the Vatican in Europe, we have had an overview of world history, looked at the identifying marks of the Little Horn Power mentioned in Daniel chapter 7, looked at the 1260-year prophecy, and studied about the Gnostic roots of the Vatican. We have looked at how the religious teachings of the Vatican have spread throughout Europe. We have looked at Great Britain, the battle axe of Protestantism. And we have studied about the gunpowder plot, the Jesuits, and the rise of communism. We then looked at the world wars, why there is a European Union, and have understood that it was the Vatican who created the current system of the welfare state and the social services that are set up in Europe and in America. We have also looked at how the Lord has predicted that the United States of America will be the enforcer of papal government. Throughout this whole series of radio broadcasts, we have looked at how the stealthy but rapid progress of the papal power will lead to no man being able to buy or sell unless he has the mark of the beast, the mark of papal government. The mark of the beast is not a barcode or a computer chip implant, but it will be enforced Sunday worship. We are living in a time now when many Christians, even non-Christians, are seeking to prepare for the mark of the beast crisis by leaving the large cities and going out to secluded places to start country living. While this is good of itself, we all need to remember that we need to escape the beast that is within us before we can escape the beast that is without us. What is the purpose of running from satanic government without, if we have not dealt with the satanic government that is ruling within? Listeners, Satan rules through sin. The Lord Jesus Christ desires to take us back as his property. We belong to him. We shall be individually, for time and eternity, what our habits make us. The lives of those who form right habits and are faithful in the performance of every duty will be shining lights, shedding bright beams upon the pathway of others. But if habits of unfaithfulness are indulged, if lax, indolent, neglectful habits are allowed to strengthen, a cloud darker than midnight will settle on the prospects in this life and forever debar the individual from the future life. One selfish thought indulged, one duty neglected, prepares the way for another. What we venture to do once, we are more apt to do again. Habits of sobriety, of self-control, of economy, of close application, of sound, sensible conversation, of patience and true courtesy are not gained without diligent, close watching of a self. It is much easier to become demoralized and depraved than to conquer defects, keeping self in control and cherishing true virtues. Persevering efforts will be required if the Christian graces are ever perfected in our lives. This, listeners, is what God calls for us and calls from us today. I invite all who have never given their hearts to Jesus to do so now. Make Jesus first and last and best in everything. Make him the sovereign ruler in your life. We have nothing to fear, listeners, when we give our lives to Jesus. As long as we trust in him, our future life is surely guaranteed. So, listeners, to round off this study this evening now, let us close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Your word truly is a shining light, Lord, that lights up the pathway of life. And Lord, I pray that we would understand how precious is your word. Lord, your word has life-giving power. And I pray that that life-giving power we would allow to take place in our hearts and lives. And Lord, that we will be recreated by your word so that we can reflect your image and be ready for your second coming. So Lord, I pray for all who have listened to this series, whether it be one part or all parts, Lord, that all will understand, myself included, Lord, that there's only one way to eternal life, and that's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Help us, we pray, Lord, to have the strength that we need to overcome sin and wickedness in our lives. Help us to overcome every word that's wrong, every thought that's wrong, and every action that's wrong. And may all our loose thoughts be gathered up and centered upon you. Lord, your word says some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Lord, hear us. Let the King hear us when we call. And Lord, I pray that this would be our prayer now and forevermore. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listeners, if you have any questions or if you'd like more information, please send an email to inquiries@witnesspublications.org. You can also listen to and download our radio program podcasts at https://voice-in-z-wilderness.podcastpage.io/. You can also find our podcasts on Spotify. Search for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio by Wilderness Productions. Well, listeners, that's it for tonight's radio broadcast. Good night, listeners, and God bless.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically-based messages live and on the internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.